Hi, this is Harold Long. Welcome to the Hiltran United Weekly Message and Podcast. I'm glad you're making time for this week's teaching. I will have more to say at the end, but for now, let's dive right in.
Good morning. I invite you all to stand for the scripture reading this morning, if you are able. Today's version comes from the Common English Bible, and we are reading from the second chapter of Acts 1 through 41. When Pentecost Day arrived, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound from heaven, like the howling of a fierce wind, filled the entire house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be an individual flames of fire alighting on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit enabled them to speak. They were pious Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And when they heard this sound, a crowd gathered. They were mystified because everyone heard them speaking in their native languages. They were surprised and amazed, saying, "Look, aren't all the people who are speaking Galileans, every one of them? How then can each of us hear them speaking in our native language?" Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, as well as residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the regions of Libya, bordering Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts of Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the mighty works of God in our own languages. They were all surprised and bewildered. Some asked each other, "What does this mean?" Others jeered at them, saying, "They are full of new wine." Peter stood with the other 11 apostles. He raised his voice and declared, "Judeans and everyone living in Jerusalem, know this. Listen carefully to my words. These people aren't drunk, as you suspect. After all, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Rather, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Our sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will cause wonders to occur in heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be changed into darkness, and the moon will be changed into blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene was a man whose credentials God proved to you through miracles, wonders, and signs, which God performed through him among you. You yourself know this. In accordance with God's established plan and foreknowledge, he was betrayed. You, with the help of wicked men, had Jesus killed by nailing him to the cross. God raised him up. God freed him from death, from death's dreadful grip, since it was impossible for death to hang on to him. David said about him, I foresaw that the Lord was always with me because he was at my right hand. I won't be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body will live in hope because you won't abandon me to the grave, nor permit my Holy One to experience decay. You have known me, the paths of life. Your presence will fill me with happiness. Brothers and sisters, I can speak confidently about the patriarch David. He died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this very day. Because he was a prophet, He knew that God promised him with a solemn pledge to seat one of his descendants on his throne. Having seen this beforehand, David spoke about the resurrection of Christ, that he wasn't abandoned to the grave, nor did his body experience decay. This Jesus God raised up. We are all witnesses to that fact. He was exalted to God's right side and received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit. He poured out his Spirit, and you are seeing and hearing the results of his having done so. David didn't ascend into heaven, yet he said, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at the right side until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel know beyond question that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when the crowd heard this, they were deeply troubled. They said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter replied, Change your hearts and lives. Each of you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you, your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God invites. With many other words, he testified to them and encouraged them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Those who accept Peter's message were baptized. God brought about 3,000 people into the community on that day. May God bless your hearing and understanding of the application of the Scripture.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It's great to see everybody on this beautiful Pentecost Sunday morning. Hope everybody's well and had a great weekend. Congratulations again to those who are going to be graduating or have grandkids or great-grandkids or family or friends or whoever graduating. I know there's a lot of you. My social media feeds are just full of lots of great pictures, lots of great stories. It's a beautiful thing. Always exciting to watch people move on to the next chapter in their lives. I'm going to thank everybody for giving Kayla a warm welcome last week and showing her family a whole lot of love. I spoke with Kayla this week, and she stated that her soul was reignited having been back here and having an honored preacher. So congratulations to that whole experience for her and for you. And we will have her back again for sure in the future and to do other things with her and her church family. So I had a great time over there. They didn't butcher me. They didn't kick me out. We had a lot of good laughs, and we had a good time. Today is the birthday of the church. That's, you know, in case you didn't realize that, we are celebrating Pentecost Sunday, which is the birth of the church. And so we can celebrate. If you didn't get one of the Danishes out there, please do so before you leave. They're pretty good. And you can share in that adventure. But the day the Christian church started, a long time ago, thousands of years ago, 3,000 people roughly came to Christ that day. Not a bad first day, amen? Not a bad first day. And I think what's important to remember about that whole experience is that there, even on that very first day, there was mockers, there was laughers, there was critics, there was doubters, there was all those people that existed on that platform. And the people that were bringing the message, the disciples that were bringing it forward, didn't try to change the mockers, they didn't try to change the laughers, they didn't try to change anybody. They just shared what the Holy Spirit had them share, and then they went on to the next town. And so it's really important to understand it, I think, and we're really going to dive into that today in our message time, is what is the role of the Holy Spirit, what is the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and what does the Holy Spirit even do in the 21st century? Here we are in 2021. What does the Holy Spirit even do? And we're going to dive into that. You know, the Christian church originated in Roman Judea in the first century, and it's founded on the teachings of Jesus. Period. That's what it was founded on. That's where the disciples first gathered and became Christians, according to Scripture and what Scripture has to teach us. Jesus commanded them to spread his teachings throughout the world. And so that's the Methodist. Sorry about that. Got a little scratching going on. That is the Methodist teaching. You know, that's our mission statement, is to make disciples who make disciples for the transformation of the world. And that's what our task is as a kingdom body, as a church, as individuals. That should be our mission statement. That should be our MO and what we're designed to do. And for most Christians, you know, this holiday, we call it the Pentecost. It is a holiday. It's an event that occurred after Jesus' ascension into heaven. And it represents, again, the church's birthday. It signified, you know, the Holy Spirit and the gathered disciples, as we've seen in the videos, as Jane lifted up in Scripture. And so the leadership of the Christian church began with the apostles, but now that torch is handed to us. And so we have that responsibility. And it's part of our logo as well. So if you look at the Methodist Church logo, this is the, you know, the traditional logo of the Methodist Church. That fire symbol right there represents the Holy Spirit, you know, as part of the movement of Methodism. And at one point in time, one out of three people in America were Methodists, believe that or not. That's how powerful the movement was back with the circuit riders in the early days of Christianity in the United States. So Methodists were very evangelistic, and they carried a great message, and they went a lot of places. And that's why you see so many, many churches, Methodist churches, in almost every small town. And they're really sometimes miles apart. And the reason why is obviously they didn't have cars or that at that time. They got on wagons or they rode horses to go to church. So you had to have churches a lot closer than they are today. Unfortunately, a lot of those churches have closed because the church as a whole, like I said, and I've said many times, is declining for a lot of reasons. And we'll get into that. A lot of that has to do with how active we are with the Holy Spirit and what is our relationship with the Holy Spirit. It has a lot to do with that. So we're going to get into that. Who is the Holy Spirit? I often refer to the Holy Spirit as the invisible man, you know, because the Bible tells us that. And I assume we've all heard the phrase Holy Spirit at some point in our life. And the phrase does beg the question, where do you start when defining the Holy Spirit? And I think to do this, you have to go back to the very first days of creation. You have to go back to the page one of the Bible for that, and where the dark, uncreated world is depicted as a chaotic place at that time. But above all the chaos, God's Spirit is hovering over the earth, ready to bring about life, order, and beauty. So you got to think about the earth in its pre-state before God put his hands and breathed life into all of creation. And really, really important to know that the Spirit was part of that. You see that we are pluralistic language in the early Gospels. And who's God when he says we are us? Who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And really, really important to never lose sight of that when it comes to the Holy Spirit. What is God's Spirit? And great question. And it's God's physical presence with us and still with us today. Really important, I think, to know that when you think about the Holy Spirit. That this is God's physical presence with us in the world. And so how do you pronounce it? Anybody want to take a shot at that? Anybody know their Hebrew? But that Hebrew word is ruach, and you got to put that in it so everybody can practice that, you know, later today. If you got allergies, it's real easy to do that, right, Dan? You can get that in there pretty easy. But that's the word. It's ruach. Really, really important word. And ruach can refer to many things, but what the most common reference to it, and I think is really important to understand, is its energy. Its power is what that word is. It's invisible energy. It's what makes the clouds move, tree branches sway. And again, that word in the Hebrew language is ruach. And really, really important to understand that word. Now, everybody, just close your eyes for a minute, and I just want you to take a deep breath. Just lean into this with me. Just sit, if you're watching at home on Faith TV, just take a deep breath and just hold it for a second. Then ask yourself this question. Do you feel that? Now, I'm not talking about the air, but I'm talking about the energy that produces in your body when you actually go through that exercise. That the vitality you experience by breathing deeply, that is ruach. That is that energy. That is that power. That is the Spirit of God in you. That's why you're alive. The Spirit of God inside you is why you're breathing right this second. It's why the world is alive. And you look out the doors and you see the trees and the flowers and the skies and the birds. That's God's ruach everywhere. And it's easy to take it for granted. It's easy to walk through life and not really realize that the Spirit of God is present with you right this second. And if God would dismiss himself, the Spirit would go away, everything would perish like that. And so we're just seconds and inches sometimes from life or death in our relationship when it comes to God and what keeps everything alive. And as we continue through the Bible stories, you know, we see God's Ruach given to certain people, power to administer specific tasks. Joseph, for example, y'all remember the story of Joseph. He's the first person in the Bible this really happens to is Joseph. And God's Spirit enables Joseph to understand and interpret dreams. Very, very powerful thing that he had that took him a long way, all the way to second in command in Egypt with this gift. And then God's Ruach is given to Bezalel, which is mentioned 9 times. And there's 2 different characters with this. One's in Ezra and 1 9 times it's mentioned in the book of Exodus. And he was an artist. And he was given God's Spirit to empower him with a lot of wisdoms and a lot of skills. And God gives him the gift of creativity to make beautiful things in the tabernacle. He even made the Ark of the Covenant. That's how gifted this gentleman was, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we also see God's Spirit empower a group of people called the prophets, which we study many times. And they can see what's happening through history through God's point of view. And it's not pretty. The problem that the prophets saw was that God's Ruach, as powerful it was, the people that were a part of that were watching it fall to pieces. And while God's Ruach created a perfect world, humans have given in to evil. And we know that story through Genesis and throughout the Bible. And they unleashed chaos in the world through their injustice. And it still happens today, obviously. A new type of disorder now existed. And the prophet said the Spirit would come, just like in Genesis 1, but not to transform the human heart. That's why we come. In the beginning, it came to create. But when it comes again, it's going to come to transform the human heart, transform the human being, the lost soul, to empower people to love God and others indeed, so that together they can change the world. That's what the Spirit is coming again. And so how's that going to happen? And we know that's going to happen through Jesus, right? That was the second coming of this movement, was through Jesus Christ. And centuries pass and Jesus appears. And at the beginning of his ministry, there is this beautiful scene where Jesus is baptized in the waters of the Jordan River, if you remember that scene. And a lot of people who travel to Israel, the Holy Land, that's one thing they want to do is get off. And if you go there, there'll be tour buses all the way up and down. And you get off in the Jordan River and get reaffirmed your baptism. And of course, every leader on those buses says, this is the spot where Jesus was baptized, all the way down for a long ways down the river. So, you know, that's hocus pocus. But a lot of people do it because it's cool. You know, it's a way to reaffirm your baptism. But the skies open up and God's Spirit comes to rest on Jesus like a bird. And then as the story goes, God's Spirit is empowering Jesus to begin this new creation movement that we're still very much a part of today. It's called the salvation process. And that's what we're a part of. We see this happening when Jesus begins to heal people and forgive their sins. He is creating life where there once was death. He's bringing people back to life. I mean, and that's just a powerful, powerful story. Religious leaders oppose Jesus and eventually have him killed. But even here, God's Spirit is at work, if you really lean into the story. The earliest disciples of Jesus who saw him alive from the dead saw God's energizing Spirit raise him up, right, with their own eyes. They've seen this happen. These events are the beginning of the new creation, and it's still going on today, but just not everywhere like it should be. And why is it? You know, Jesus appeared to his closest followers, and he said to them, and he breathed on them, and he said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Just think about that. He just breathed on them and gave them that. And soon after that, the Spirit comes upon all the disciples so they can become a part of this new creation and share the good news and learn how to live with this energy and this influence of God's Spirit. So we've seen this starting to take place in what Jane read for us this morning out of the second book of Acts 1 through 41. So today the Spirit is still hovering over at dark places, and yes, pointing people to Jesus, transforming and empowering them so they can love God and love others. The Christian hope is that God is going to finish the job, and the Bible ends with a vision of new humanity living in a new world. This is called the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, permeated by God's love and life-giving Spirit. The Ruach is still very much alive. And as kingdom people, we're empowered to carry out that commission. We're empowered to bring about that on earth as it is in heaven. So the question is the Holy Spirit still present? Is the Holy Spirit still alive today? In many Christian circles, the Holy Spirit is either neglected, forgotten, or misunderstood, I can promise you, in a lot of places.
The one given to unite the body of Christ is at the center of controversy in a lot of places. In some charismatic circles, they would tell you that if you can't speak in tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit, that you don't have the gifts. I couldn't disagree more. I would sit on a debate on that all day long to have that conversation. But you hear these misrepresentations of the Spirit of God. It can leave people confused, dazed, and concerned as they go through life. Well, maybe I don't have the Holy Spirit. Maybe I don't have any gifts. Maybe I don't have a purpose in this world. Maybe I'm really not even saved. Unfortunately, and this kind of stuff happens. The one given to unite the body of Christ is a center of controversy, like I said. And this relationship is the nettle that must be firmly grasped. So often in Christian circles, so rigidly programmed, this legalism that takes place, it seems we are no longer to depend on Him, and yet Jesus says, without me, you can't do anything. So always important to remember that. The great teacher, Dr. A.W. Tozer, author, pastor, said this, and I quote, I'm really listening to what his quote says. If the Holy Spirit were withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do would go on, and no one would know the difference. If the Holy Spirit withdrew from the New Testament church, 95% of what they did would stop and everybody would know the difference. It's a big transition between them and us. And so, I mean, in easy terms, you can just say the church and our faith and the Christian movement and the kingdom of God has got really watered down in a lot of ways over the course of a couple thousand plus years. And so what does that mean for us? Well, I mean, why is that? I mean, that's a great question. You know, why? And I can give you three reasons that I will summarize real quick to why we are in the condition that we are as a big C church, as Christianity as a whole. And this isn't in every pocket. It can move from one space to the next. But it's really the overall reason why we struggle in the way we do. And so we want to get into that real quick. And so these three things are this. First, it's the culture we live in. It's the individualism. It's the consumerism. It's the postmodernism. It's the relativism. It's the extreme self-reliance. It's idolatry. We worship our own gods in so many places, which is ourselves, ultimately. It's what you see happening. We have shaped gods who look like us. And think about this in the real world when you hear people talk about Jesus and you hear them talk about Christ and they talk about God. Listen to how so much of that is shaped into who they are and what they believe and what they lean to and what they politically stand for. Or go on down the line. It's all about them. Jesus looks like them. Jesus, God, looks just like they look. And so if you don't look like they look, then you don't have God. That's a lot of the culture we live in. But here's some really, I think, powerful news, is that if Jesus or God starts to look like us, we ain't worshiping God. We're worshiping an idol. And I hope you really lean into that. That's what we're worshiping. If Jesus and God looks like us, we're way off track, friends. To follow Jesus and to love Jesus and to really live into Jesus is a really radical way to live. And it doesn't look like most people, I can promise you. Number two, we have this twisted perception of who God is, who Jesus is, who the Holy Spirit is, or if you wish, the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost, however you want to frame it, we have a twisted perception of what that looks like. We sit on our tushes praying to God to work wonders, waiting patiently. God, why don't you do something? God, when are you going to do this? God, when are you going to stop the pain? When are you going to bring a solution? When are you going to bring healing? And God says, I'm ready to do all that, but I created you to partner with me on that. So when you're ready to come all the way in, sit all the way down and lean into this and partner with me, we can make things happen. But that's how God's always worked, through other people, through kingdom communities. So as a kingdom community, we have to take inventory of that. As individuals, we have to stop looking. So what am I really doing in the kingdom of God? Or am I just sitting around waiting for something to happen? And it's the same way as the church. It's the same way as the kingdom community. When I look at all the believers, you know, in our county and in our town, you know, how committed are we really to bringing about the kingdom of God? So that's number two. And number three, we have twisted views of salvation. The kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. Most Christians just look at salvation as something that's going to happen to me when I die. When I die, I'm going to heaven and I'll live forever. And that's partly true. There's no doubt that that's a big part of it, but that's only partially true. Yes, when we die, our soul goes to heaven at some point. We really don't know exactly when that is. Our soul being made up of three parts, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Our body and brain, well, as far as we know, for now, it stays in the ground. But mysteriously, somehow, our soul enters the process of resting with the Lord. And we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of description of that. We just have to lean in it and trust that in faith that that's how it goes. It's truly a mystery. But most Christians fail to realize that the salvation process includes all the creation, and heaven will be restored on earth. So salvation is a three-part process. It's yesterday, it's today, and it's tomorrow. And it's always going on. We're a part of that salvation process. So if God's going to restore the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven, who's he going to use to do that? He's not just going to snap his fingers. He's going to use the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. So we're called to live into that in a big, big way. That's our job as kingdom people. And so we have to be active. We're trusted servants in the salvation process. And the Holy Spirit is what has empowered us and counsels us and encourages us. And that's all done, again, by the same power that hovered over the earth, this dark earth, and brought life and brought it to life. And it's the same Spirit that lives in us that helps us to do that. It's the same empowerment. It's the same Spirit that was played in the early players in the Old Testament and empowered the latest players in the New Testament. And it's where we're at today, and it's who we are today. It's going to empower us too. And we can't do anything without the Holy Spirit in our lives. Nothing. Can't do anything. We have to lean on the Spirit. Before Pentecost, think about this, the book Acts when you read the story. Think about the resurrection story. Jesus dies. He comes back. He hangs around for 40 days. He's seen by over 500 people. It wasn't until then people even started to believe. Many of you go to the Emmaus groups. Think about the walk to Emmaus when they're walking with the Lord, and they're asking him, why are you down? Why are you concerned with? You know, their doubts come pouring out. Well, we had this guy. We don't know where he's at. We only know if he's true. You know, this is where their hearts was. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, their lives changed. They were never to be the same again. They all went on to fully become sold out for this movement called Christianity. They gave it all. 11 of the 12, we know, died horrific deaths. Horrific deaths carrying this out. Prior to the ascension of Jesus into heaven and the Spirit coming upon them, which we celebrate today, they wouldn't have done any of it. They would have just been like everybody else. They would have scattered because that's what they did. The Gospels tell us that's what they did. That's why we should all be able to really relate to that. So anything we do in the kingdom of God, we can't just sit here and give ourselves attaboys on the back. It's only because of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit that we can do anything, any one of us, period. So what is the job of the Holy Spirit? And so I'm going to lift up that there's five things. And number one is to endow us. It's to give us the gifts of the Spirit. And we all have different gifts. We see that poured out this morning. We see Nick and Chloe and Rich up here sharing their gifts with us. The gift of music. We hear gift of communication with readers. And Lila, who's coming up, who's beautiful, just comes up here and pours a little heart out, giving us all we get. We all have gifts. You have gifts. You have amazing gifts. And I've only been here a little while, but I'm starting to get to know people and know their gifts, and it's beautiful. And our job as kingdom people is to help people create space, create environments where people's gifts can shine, and allow your imagination to run, and don't allow the principalities and the dark side of life try to sabotage that, because, oh, trust me, it will. If you're trying to make a difference in the kingdom of God, you can know that the dark side, the principalities and powers of this world, will do everything it can to keep you from doing it. And that battle is going to be in your mind. It's going to be between your ears where that battle is going to take place. So don't let that be you. You know what that is about. So endow is number one. Number two, equip. And equip means it prepares the harvest. So here's what you got to know. As these people moved about, they didn't have a building, a church that they came to. They moved all around all the time. They stayed in people's houses. They were house churches. They were house movements at best. And they were just there for a little bit, then they were on to the next place. They'd plant a church, and then they'd go on again to the next one. And they were moving. And they went because the Spirit went ahead of them. The Spirit was ahead of them all the time. So if you're going into a treatment center, if you're going into a homeless shelter, you're going into a community, you're going to a prison, you're going to a jail, you're going to a revival, you're going to a U camp or a VBS camp or it's coming to us, whatever that looks like, you don't have to sit there and get hung up as how are we going to reach these kids, because you aren't going to reach the kids. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to reach the kids. It's the Holy Spirit that equips everything. So the Holy Spirit goes ahead, just like it did on this day of Pentecost. It went ahead of everybody. And it prepared the hearts of those who had ears to hear. And there was plenty of ears that didn't hear. There was mockers. There was laughters. There was critics. There was doubters. And there always will be in every circle you go into. And so we're not about results. It isn't like, yeah, we have to take inventory and ask ourselves how we can be more effective. But at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit gets all the glory and has all the power. Amen? And so we have to know that truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit, so the Holy Spirit's always going ahead of us. It's just like this church service. You know, you can get caught up in that, but it's just like the Holy Spirit's the one that's going to prepare your heart. If you have ears to hear the message, hear what the Scripture has to say to you, and you're moved to do that, it isn't what how Jane read it or how Nick sang it or how Harold preached it. It's because the Holy Spirit engaged your heart and you engaged the Spirit in return. And that's our calling on each and every one of us. And that's part of what it does. Encourage. That encouragement, you know, the Holy Spirit is our friend. How many times do you pray to the Holy Spirit? How many times do you use your prayer life simply, Holy Spirit, thank you for being my friend. Thank you for being my counselor. Thank you for being my advocate, my helper, going with me wherever I go, watching Phil Mickelson try to win the Players' Championship, become the oldest guy today. I mean, thanks for hanging out with me today to watch that. You know, thanks for being with us at this graduation. He's your friend. He's wherever you reach out to the Spirit to be. He's everywhere. And so it's just by invitation. So I encourage you to think about that a little bit more in your prayer life and your meditation. This Spirit is with you. It's deep down inside you. It dwells with inside you. And so it's with you all the time. You can tap into the Spirit 365 days a year, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just tap into it. And it's simply a conversation. Hey, Spirit, again, thank you for being my friend. Powerful, powerful way to engage the Spirit. Number four, empower. The ruach, the empowerment. That the Holy Spirit empowers us to do things, say things. Sometimes you get asked to do something, you're like, I don't know, I don't have the ability to do that. I'm not a good speaker, I'm not a good singer. You want me to sing in the choir? I've never sang in the choir. I mean, whatever. I mean, immediately, our preconditioning that's such at a subconscious level just comes out and we just reject because we've done it our whole self. This is what the principality of powers, the dark side, does in our mind. Been doing it since the day we were born. And so much of this stuff is embedded as I can't, I can't, I can't. You can do anything when the Spirit of God gets a hold of you, friends. You've seen what happens. And maybe you're sitting here in life and really going through a hardship in life and it just life seems totally impossible. That this is never going to be able to work out. I'm never going to be able to become the person I thought I could be because I broke too many hearts, I burnt too many bridges, or whatever it is your story. But I'm telling you that you heard Dan's testimony here. You've seen how the dead come back to life. You've heard many testimonies in your lifetime, and it's true. If you turn your will and life over to the care of God, and the Spirit of God comes to live in your life, it'll transform your heart, it'll transform your mind, you'll never be the same person again. And if ultimately you live into what God would have you do, you'll be amazed what God will do through your life and through your demonstration. Amen? That's what empowerment looks like. And the last one is to educate. All of us should be growing. Mother Teresa herself said, you always want to remain green because green things are growing, right? Amen. You want to remain green. So our job and part of the job of the Holy Spirit is to help us understand, interpret Scripture, do Bible studies. That's why it's important. And I can't wait to see Sunday school come back to life. And people, everybody here should be involved in a Bible study, a small group study, somehow or another, connecting with other believers, learning from each other. You know, we have this little meditation group we call the Elephants, or at least that's the name of it right now. But we meet on Wednesdays and Saturdays, and we have through COVID. But to watch the gifts and the wisdom that's came out of this group, it's impacted my life big time. But it's just powerful to be a part of that. And if you don't do those things, you miss out on all that. So I really encourage you to think about that as you go into the summertime and the fall. You know, how can I get better plugged in? Whether it's coming to the men's group or starting a group in your house, whatever. And we got all the resources. And with Faith Life, I'm telling you, you sign up for Faith Life, you got countless Bible studies, movies, teachings, more than you'll ever use. And you have access to Logos Bible software, which is the premier Bible software in the world. And you have access to that as part of being a member of the Faith Life team. So utilize those things. So our job is to grow in understanding and effectiveness as kingdom people, each one of us. How can I be more effective with the power of the Holy Spirit to carry the good news to the person who's still lost? And lastly, the vision for the church, what I call the four must. This little kingdom community right here, right now, this is our four must. We must be invitational. Invite anyone or everyone to become a part of this kingdom family. And so we'll be working on ways throughout the summer and the fall to help you do that easier. But I hope you become very invitational, whether it's inviting people that have left for whatever reason or haven't come back since COVID, to inviting neighbors and friends and people that you come in contact with, just inviting them to come and be a part of this whole experience. Number two, being community focused. You know, our VBS is our first real community event since I've been here, other than the chicken and dumplings, which is huge. But I mean, as far as real ministry, getting into the Word of God. But other than that, I got some visions for us doing some other things down the road that y'all share in the weeks and months ahead. But it's really, really powerful that we stay as a church body, community focused, outside these walls. Not just in here, but outside of here. Number four, number three, Jesus-centered. I can't speak to this enough, that the culture we live in, the legalism that's in the church, the bias that's in the church, the political bent that are in the church, none of that's Christ-centered. None of that's Jesus, friends. None of it. And so if you're stuck in that with your Christianity, I hope somehow or another you can get divorced from that. Because it's not kingdom and it's not what's in Scripture. Visualize a campfire. Just pretend that campfire is right there in the middle of that floor. Huge bonfire. And that is Jesus. That flame represents the Holy Spirit, represents the Trinity, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. But let's just say it's Jesus. And our job as kingdom people is to come and focus on the fire. Not who's standing around the fire. Oh, I wonder what his political beliefs are. Oh, I wonder what gender he is. Oh, I wonder what he thinks about this. Oh, I wonder what she's doing here. Oh, she looks like she's pregnant out of marriage. Oh, but, you know, and sit around and point fingers like the Pharisees did. Our job is just to invite people to the fire and allow whatever Jesus is going to do to their hearts, do whatever he's going to do to their hearts, whatever the Holy Spirit's going to do. It's not my job to judge. I'm not the judge, jury, executioner, anybody. My job is to say, hey, come. Stand by the fire. Just come. And my focus should be on the fire, not be standing around the fire. Does that make sense? That's where I come from, our friends, as kingdom people, is to invite people to this fire. And whatever their hurts, habits, or hang-ups are, they are. And that's between them and God, and Jesus will work that out. And everybody's on their own spiritual path, work it out, whatever it is they work out. Our job is just come. Just come. We just love people. Just come here. Stand by the fire. That's all they want you to do. And that's really where we got to get to that place, as a Christ-centered community, as a Jesus-centered community. And the last one is the kingdom revolution, because it's happening throughout Christian circles, this revolution of getting committed, walking shoulder to shoulder with other people, and inviting them to be a part of the kingdom of God, this kingdom revolution. That's all of our jobs, and so we need to be doing that in a big, big way. So with that, friends, I'm going to ask us to bow. I'm going to ask you to rise first. So everybody rise up. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer together. I want to invite the band back up. I'm going to close this out in a prayer. And I just hope that when you leave here today, and you're in the midst of your prayer life and your meditation and your spiritual walk, that you become a better friend to the Holy Spirit. Lean on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your friend in a big, big way. It will make a big difference in how your attitude and your life turns out. So join me, if you would, in the prayer that Jesus taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of your heart. And friends, the Holy Spirit is very much alive, and if you've asked the Holy Spirit to live in your heart, then you can be assured that that Holy Spirit is inside you. It's a relationship, and the more time you spend with that relationship, the more reliance and the impact the Holy Spirit is going to have on your mind, your heart, your soul, every aspect of your life. The Holy Spirit is your friend, and we can communicate with the Spirit in a friendship kind of way. And so let me encourage you to do that. And let me pray for us now, if you would. Just lean into my prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle them in the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you will renew the face of this earth. Lord, by the light of the Holy Spirit, you have taught the hearts of your faithful. In the same Spirit, please help us relish what is right and always rejoice in your consolation. In your name and your Spirit, we pray these things.
Hi again, this is Harold. Thanks for listening to our weekly message and podcast. I hope that we have shared something helpful to you wherever you are in your spiritual journey. Just so you know a little bit more about us, we are Hill-Tran United. Hill-Tran United is an alliance between Hillsboro United Methodist Church and Transformation United Methodist Church. We are kingdom churches and kingdom communities for people who aren't into church. We meet Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. at Hillsboro United Methodist Church, and 11 a.m. at Transformation United Methodist Church. Both churches are located in the northeastern tip of the beautiful Ozark Mountains, located in Jefferson County, Missouri. We also meet during the week in smaller groups that we call life groups and home churches, and that's how we make it relational. We hear regularly from people from all over who are engaging in personal and group studies based on our teaching, and we would love to know if that is happening where you are at. If you want to connect with us, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Vimeo, and YouTube, where you can download our app from your favorite app store. Just search for the app titled Our Church by Church Dev and enter in Hiltran United, and you can access all of our available audio, video teachings, plus through the app or our website, you can download our PowerPoint slides, bulletin, sermon notes, and discussion questions. It's all there for you. And lastly, if you want to learn more about how you can support Hillsboro United Methodist Church or Transformation United Methodist Church financially, please go to www.hiltran.org for more information and to give. We appreciate anything you can do to help. Hey, thanks for being a member of this extended church family. I'm glad we are in this together as kingdom people, commencing shoulder to shoulder to help people rediscover life and experience the kingdom of God.